Let's take our Bibles and look together in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. We have here instructions given to Ezekiel, the Lord's prophet, who was established as a watchman to the house of Israel. And just like any that faithfully declare the word of God, theirs is to warn sinners of God's holiness and justice and their misery and danger apart from the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none that should be comfortable who are outside of Christ. And so here in Ezekiel 33, it begins, again, the word of the Lord came unto me. That's how you can tell the difference between a mere preacher, of which the world is plenteous, has plenty, and one sent of the Lord. Because one sent of the Lord has a word of the Lord that has been revealed to him. So that's important. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is not Ezekiel just standing up and coming up with his own thoughts. And the expression son of man is one that's used in the Old Testament of a prophet, which when we understand how our Lord Jesus Christ took that name to himself, the son of man, it meant more than just being a mere man, but actually God's prophet. And that he was. He is the word. The writer of the Hebrews said that God in sundry times and diverse manners spake unto us by the prophets, but in this last time has spoken to us by his Son. He is the definitive prophet or word of God. The Son of Man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, so here he is the watchman of the people, but speaking here of some that would defer to the arm of the flesh when God is purposed to judge and think that somehow their watchman can divert God's judgment. If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, that whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. That's a significant statement in light of what we're going to be considering in our study in 2 Samuel chapter 1, about the Amalekite that came and presented himself before David and feigned doing something that he thought David would be pleased with. But David said to him, your blood be upon your head. There's a guiltiness that men bear in not hearing the word of the Lord, that sound of the trumpet. Oh yeah, people hear with their ears, but left to themselves, they will always devise another way, or they'll justify themselves in their unbelief. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. Think of how many hear the sound of the trumpet as far as the gospel of Christ is concerned. Many are called. That is, there's that call of the gospel that goes out, but few are chosen. The words that God causes to hear. But nevertheless, it does not relieve sinners of blood guiltiness. Notice, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. We're those that take warning, but those given ears to hear. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet. So on the one hand, you've got the people, now the watchman. This is talking about false preachers. and the people be not warned. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. It doesn't change the end result that those that follow after these false watchmen, they do suffer their just condemnation, but also the watchman. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. There again, that if one's taught of the Lord, they can but declare the word of the Lord. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Such was the urgency. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. Where did we hear those words initially? It was in the garden. And the Lord told Adam, the day you partake of that fruit, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, you will surely die. I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Remember the Apostle Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders before he went to Jerusalem, arrived in Jerusalem, and then was taken prisoner to Rome, not knowing whether he would ever see them again, but he told them that he was free of the blood of all men. How do you suppose he could say that in good conscience? Well, it's because as God taught him, he preached nothing but Christ and him crucified. There's no other message that we need to hear but Christ and him crucified. I know people today want you to preach on all kinds of subjects, ask you, what about this, what about that? But none of that matters when it comes down to the vital issue of who is Christ and what did he accomplish in his death and for whom did he do it? Where is he now? Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, that's the call to repentance. If he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. Thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Now, this is talking about people now hearing this message that God gives an urgency to, and they begin to wonder, well, God save me. Will God save me? Will he be merciful to me, the sinner? Say unto them, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. What this is saying is that though God is a God of justice, he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he will have compassion on whom he'll have compassion. I'll tell you, that's good news for sinners that the Lord has troubled their soul, and they wonder. It says there, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? This is not God pleading, begging. But it's a command. Turn ye. The gospel is a command. It's not an invitation. Turn ye. Turn ye. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. It's showing right there that you're not to go out and preach some kind of righteousness that man is going to come up with now to make himself favorable to God. Just the opposite. Let the righteous, those that think themselves righteous, know that it's not going to be their righteousness that will deliver them in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. This is an amazing thing how God work salvation, because you got some that think themselves righteous and yet they're condemned. And there's these others that God has shown them their desperate estate, and they know their wickedness and turn from it by God's grace. And the Lord says, I'll be merciful. In fact, his mercy was being manifest in causing them to turn, leaving the righteous one, the self-righteous one, blind. So the righteous, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sent. And I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity. All his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. That's what James said. You can be obedient to the whole law, but if you violate one point, you're guilty of all. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. There's a message here to those sinners that when God brings that arrow home to the heart and you read that, when I say unto the wicked, God calls you to see, I am that wicked one. And we understand the command, thou shalt surely die. That's a sentence of death. Yet, in turning from his sin, who turns the sinner from his sin but God in his grace and mercy? And do that which is lawful and right. What is lawful and right but to come to Christ? If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. That's what Zacchaeus thought of when the Lord came his way and said, Zacchaeus, come down, today's salvation has come to your house. And he immediately thought, well, I'll just make everything right. And the Lord told him, said, no, I've already made everything right. I'm coming to your house. How is it that all of this is fulfilled for a wicked one other than in the righteousness of Christ? None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. We talk about perfect justification. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet, the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. The Lord says, as for them, their way is not equal. How many times have you heard people find fault with God, and yet the fault is with them? That's why Paul wrote in Romans 9, who art thou, man, that you contest against God? So the clay say unto the potter, why hast thou made me thus? When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. The point is that if you want to live by righteousness, if you want that to be your order, then it requires absolute perfection. You turn one time, which we do every day, then God's just and condemning you if you're looking to that righteousness. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, here it is again, the way of the Lord is not equal. You preach to men that God saves whom he will and condemns whom he will. That's not fair. Well, if you want what's fair, that means he condemns everybody. You say that, well, Christ didn't die to pay the debt for every single person in the world. He died to save a particular people, and that in mercy and grace. That's not fair. Here it is again. Whose way is it? The way ye say the way of the Lord is not equal? That shows your eyes evil. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. If you want to fall back on your righteousness as the standard, okay. I'll judge you on that basis. And it came to pass, and here we see the end of those that remain unteachable, untaught of the Lord. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, the city is smitten. This was talking about when Nebuchadnezzar came down and took Jerusalem, destroyed it. Lord warned him. They set up their own watchmen. They pursued their own ways, but now the judgment was come. Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening before he that was escaped came and had opened my mouth. Till he came to me in the morning, my mouth was open and I was no more dumb. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the words in that situation, knowing that God is exercising his judgment, what do you say? Well, we're not left to speculation. This is what the Lord said to Ezekiel, son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many. The land is given us for inheritance. That's an important word. You're not here by right, is what the Lord's saying. It was an inheritance. Wherefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and shall ye possess the land? Can you continue to pursue after other gods and still say that we're the Lord's? This land is ours, that we deserve it? You stand upon your sword, ye work abomination, and ye defile every one his neighbor's wife, and shall ye possess the land? Will you act as if this judgment isn't just? Say thou thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the wastes shall fall by the sword. And him that is in the open field will I give to the beasts to be devoured. And they that be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. For I will lay the land most desolate. And notice, the pomp of her strength, that's all that pretense and pomp, religiosity, he said, shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord. And I have laid the land most desolate because of all their abominations which they have committed. Also, thou son of man, children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. They're all talking about the preacher. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. Here's the warning. This is talking about people like ourselves sitting under the gospel. And yet what? But they will not do them. They will not bow. They're left in that state of hardness. For with their mouth they show much love. Amen, preacher. And this is talking about one preaching the gospel. But their heart goeth after their covetousness. Lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice. It's amazing why people come sometimes to hear a gospel preacher. They like him. He's a nice person. I like the way he preaches. I like the way he opens the word. They say all these things, yet that's not salvation. Lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. They hear thy words, but they do them not. In other words, they come to be entertained. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Sobering words. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious Father, thank you for this word. I pray that we would not just be as those that look at our face in the mirror and then go our way. Even as we gather tonight, Lord, that you would indeed give us a hearing, that we not be gospel hardened, that in hearing it we presume that we're yours and yet go our way and live otherwise. How we need a word from you, how we need that you grant us once again repentance of heart and mind toward yourself, even faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May we never be presumptuous to assume that we're not in need. That would be the greatest blindness of all. But as needy sinners, may we be brought to cry unto you and look to your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that righteousness that he came and earned and established. And upon completion of his death, you once for all imputed to the account, the spiritual account of those you gave your Son. Oh, to be of that number. We pray that you give us ears to hear as we open your word here in a little bit. Grant us that grace and mercy. Sinners such as we are, grant us that, I pray, in your blessed Son. We give you the praise, honor, and glory in his precious name. Amen.